And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Thursday. Good morning.
Well, hello, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first.
How you doing, the legend, Ken Cummins?
Well, in my own mind, I'm doing well.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's World Radio Day.
It is?
Yeah, did you know that?
You mean radio is still a thing?
Believe it or not, yes.
There are some that have been predicting its death. Are you telling me that radio is still a thing?
It's still a thing.
It is worldwide.
It is.
And you'll find that more and more folks are listening to the radio than you would imagine. Yeah. I've always been fascinated with the theater of the mind, but radio is much more to these days than sitting around listening to a receiver. In fact, there's very few radio receivers. They're either a computer or audio stream.
Very true.
Or some digital device. It's amazing.
It is.
But I enjoy those. If you really want to see, even though I have not seen it, but I'm going to endorse something here.
Okay.
All I've seen is pictures, and it's my own fault. I go by there all the time.
Okay.
But at WKDZ, Beth Mann has a radio museum there of all these radios from the decades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the hours there. You can call them, check it out, get online, WKDZradio.com. Yeah. And I give that endorsement lovingly because just fascinating. Now, my maternal grandfather, was a radio repairman in Princeton.
Yeah.
His name was Jimmy Eugene Lambert, and he's been gone a long time. In fact, he died really young. But in my early years, I stayed there when my mom was working, and I always was fascinated
mm-hmm.
about getting out there, and he would be working on TVs, taking the tubes out and the picture tubes and working on radios, and it was just amazing. And, of course, he could fix ham radios, too. He is a bluegrass mm-hmm. singer and a picker and a grinner. And
all right.
We just had a good old time.
Good.
And so I don't know why that radio. So World Radio Day. Here we are. Mm-hmm. We're hooked up with a world radio group.
Yeah.
Trans World Radio.
We are.
Yeah.
We are.
As a matter of fact, I had a little conversation with John Somerville yesterday. He's going to be coming our way in April for our fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And John was talking about how things are going. We were talking about Cuba, honestly. But just don't forget about the project that's ongoing, Radios for Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's ongoing. And it's amazing. Yeah. Well, what do you say for yourself? I got all charged up about Radio Day.
I believe you have said it all.
No, I haven't said it all. Hey, a big shout out. Last night I had the opportunity to fill in for Brother Harold Riley at Princeton First Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And some of them endured it and some of them didn't.
Okay, all right.
But no, I had a great time. And those are lovely folks. And they had a great meal, too, at 5. Actually showed up for that. Man, that was worth the trip right there.
Nothing else. That was worth the trip.
That's worth the trip. It's not a far trip for Tammy and I.
No, it's pretty close for you.
For Tammy and me, I should say, because we live not too far from there, about 5-6 miles is all.
It makes it nice when it's really that close.
Oh, yeah. I got home and said, wow, it's only a little bit after 7 o'clock. How about that?
See, it's nice.
Yeah, it is. Well, speaking of nice today, we're going to hear some music and we're going to get into the Word and just all kinds of things. But before I leave the subject about filling in, I've been trying to say somehow, I don't want to make this a promotion of my life, but
sure.
The rumor had got out that when I retired from the pastorate, that I had retired from everything. I'm mm-hmm. still talking to you. I have not retired, and that's not in sight. And also that maybe I'd quit preaching. Now, I've been doing that for 47 years.
Yeah.
As long as I have a mind and a heart and a mouth to use, I'm still available, and I'm just waiting on the Lord for that next assignment. So
there you go. It's a calling, right?
Oh, that's irrevocable. And so,
hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 34:3, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Sports fans love to sing their team's praises by wearing logos, posting notes on Facebook about their beloved teams, or talking about them with friends. Fans leave no doubt where their loyalty stands. For example, if you're from Tennessee, you know and love Rocky Top, while I love to sing my old Kentucky home. You get the idea. Loyalty. Our sports loyalties can remind us that our truest and greatest loyalty must be to our Lord. David said, I will extol the Lord at all times. And we're left to wonder about the gaps in our lives when we live as if God is not our source of true light and salvation. And we think about how many times we praise things in this world more than we praise Him.
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds.
And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water, it's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch on this Thursday.
Rocky Top, you'll always be
home, sweet home to me.
Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee.
There you go.
It's amazing that they sing about Rocky Top and they're in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Now, what's the deal with that?
I don't know.
So I love my Tennessee friends, though, so I'm not going to get a war going.
No.
There's something wonderful about my old Kentucky home. Oh, the sun shines. I'll break out into song.
Oh, boy.
But did you see the game? And I'll just leave it there.
No, I've seen bits and pieces of it. We don't have means to watch it. So.
Okay. Well, let me just put it this way.
But I'm glad they won, so. But, I mean, you know what I mean. So,
what'd you just do with all of our Tennessee friends?
Well, I love our Tennessee fans, too, our friends and fans.
It's a ball game.
It's a ball game. If they win or lose, it's okay.
So. I read somewhere where Coach Mark Pope is 6-0 against Tennessee because, as a player, they always won when he was a UK player. And now he swept them this year, at least in the regular season.
Yeah.
The tournament's not here yet.
Not here yet.
Well, anyway, the song that you heard before, that little devotion about the sports analogy that I brought up, the voice of truth, Mark Hall in Casting Crowns, that's the song written at least 2003, 2005, been a while, won a Dove Award, great song. But when it was in the process, came into being, I think the song was actually called Fear. And Mark Hall did not see himself as a songwriter. In fact, he was in Bible college at the time, and according to what he had to say, not according to my anything that I knew, just read and listened, and that it took him 6 years to complete a 4-year degree in Bible school. And he said he didn't make very good grades. He said he really just had a hard time. And he said he was just going through lots of fear and was afraid he just wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
Now, he was leading worship, and he would listen to, on his way to Bible college, he would listen to worship and praise and praise the Lord. And of course, he obviously had a gift. But songwriting wasn't one of them as far as he.
Okay. All
and right. so he thought, well, this is more of a prayer from his heart. Well, somehow along, I don't know how this came into being, but he met up with this virtually unknown fellow named Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know him.
Right. And so through listening and collaboration, came up with this song, Voice of Truth. And of course, it's based on a passage that I'm going to look at today, the water walking God. And also, the David and Goliath story. Mm-hmm. Let me just preface this by saying to you that there are voices that are calling out to you, like the waves on the water, that telling you that you cannot do that. Yeah. And that Jesus Christ, you need to be really quiet about him because you might offend someone.
Oh, yeah.
And then there are voices that are the waves, as he said says in the song, he says right here, but the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me. Now, that's a line for not to be a good songwriter. Reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves that keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth, this gets me excited, tells me a different story. Right. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Mm-hmm. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Let me repeat one of these. You heard it just a few moments ago. In case you just joined us, maybe we need to play it again, Sam, but I'll give you the words. What I would do to have the kind of strength that it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name, and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. Mm-hmm. You'll never win. Mm-hmm. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. Mm. The voice of the truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Amen.
So, Lord calling you to do something, and there are those who say, well, you have a past. It's impossible.
We don't have a past.
Yeah, man, I was really a bad hombre at 7 years old, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you was awful. I'm sure you was.
No, but all seriousness, when God called me to preach, I was not living a life. Anyone would think that guy's going to be a preacher.
Yeah.
No way. I'm not even going to go down that hole mm-hmm. and even bring any remarkable emphasis on it. But I will say to glory to God to listen to the voice of truth,
mm-hmm.
who is Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So maybe we're talking to you today, and the Lord has been calling you and putting in your heart to do something, and you've looked at your bank account and said, hey, that bank account's laughing at me. Or you're looking at a situation and you're saying, well, my intellectual prowess, kind of like Mark Hall said about his, is that it just absolutely, there's no way. So mm-hmm. it's laughing at you. Mm-hmm. Or there are those that know you are saying, you? Do that? Are you crazy? But the voice of truth just keeps on telling you time and time again, it's all for his glory.
That's right.
Don't listen to the voice that says, girl, boy, you'll never win. You'll mm-hmm. never win.
Mm-mm.
You'll all And if anybody has ever said anything to you like this, you'll never amount to anything, kick that into the garbage hole of hell.
That's right. That's right.
And realize that that is not the voice of the Lord.
Mm-mm.
You can be what he has called you to be.
That's right. That's right. You know, well, Satan will try to turn us any way he possibly can so we won't follow Jesus Christ. That's his job. His job. I mean, you know, that's what he's here on this earth to do, is to turn us away from God. And, you know, a lot of times when he comes to me and tries to get me to do something, I'm like, I just laugh at him. So just, devil, go away. You know, not today, you know, or any day. But yeah, we have to be strong. Have to be strong.
Do you like to take risk, Brian?
No.
Not really many do.
I'm not a risk taker.
I mean, to get me to jump out of an airplane, uh-huh. even with a parachute in my hand, I'm not afraid of heights. I don't like to be enclosed. I mean, I'm very claustrophobic. As a matter of fact, when an MRI is done on me, I must be sedated, or the whole world's going to be unhappy, including those working with me. But
you're going to come unglued.
Yeah, but heights, they don't bother me. But the idea of jumping from no.
Out of a perfectly good airplane?
Yeah, when no. I'd rather just ride and sit there.
You
know?
Yes, yes.
But there are risks that we take. There are risks this morning that I jumped in and aborted into a 2007 Ford F-150 with a lot of miles on it,
mm-hmm.
on rubber,
mm-hmm.
on a road in the dark where there's lots of deer. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness antelope don't play. Seldom has heard a discouraging word. I'll quit. But anyway, and then making that trajectory down that corridor of 91 North, which is not my favorite road to begin with.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of things
now
on that
wasn't
road.
But that was a risk. And the only thing myself and pavement driving at the speed I was driving is that vehicle.
That's it.
Anything could go wrong.
Oh, anything.
But we don't think about that.
Mm-mm.
But I want to tell you, by faith, you don't have to fear. Fear over faith. We're going to look at a story this morning about the voice of truth, and that Jesus gives out that voice of truth, and he says, "It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer." We're going to talk about that, but it looks like I'll do it later because Brian has his fingers on the controls.
I do.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, we love our family at Missionary Radio and look forward to the programs daily. Thank you for your faithful service, love, and blessings. From Crofton, thank you for all you do. From Hopkinsville, listener, thank you for your faithfulness. Day and night, you are on the air reaching out to comfort and educate us. Praise God for you all. Also from Clarksville, I love Missionary Radio.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
And good morning. You're with Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First, the voice. That's you. And I'm Ken Cummins. Good morning. It's 7:24. And what's the temperature, Brian?
30 degrees right now.
Oh, that's nice and warm.
It'll be about 35 today, though.
That's not bad.
Not bad, but we got a lot of rain coming our way Friday night. More rain coming Friday night. No, not kidding.
Really? Rain in this area?
80% chance on Friday.
About a 100% chance on one of these other occasions.
Saturday and Saturday night. Matter of fact, we are going to be under a flood watch, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, get your amphibious gear out and get ready to go.
Build a boat. I'm not joking.
Oh, it's a good day for ducks, right?
Yeah, good day for ducks.
Okay. Matthew chapter, 14. It appears in the other one, in Mark 6, 45 through 52. And then John even tells it in John chapter 6, 15 through 21. And this is the story where Jesus has been busy in his ministry. The 5,000 have been fed, and the disciples and Jesus are just plain tuckered out. And this story that is very familiar, it's one that I always enjoy hearing in Sunday school. But it's, to me, it really came to my heart just recently about the— and remember the song that we played earlier from Casting Crowns about the voice of truth, mm-hmm. hearing the voice of the Lord over fear. Yeah. And Jesus had come walking to you and is there with you mm-hmm. in the situation already. And if not, he will come to you. Anyway, here it is. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a boat and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain privately to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, so the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." That's amazing. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled," you guess, "saying, yeah. It is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. And straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the waters." Lord, it's you, I'm coming. Yeah, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. "And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the boat," he got out, "and he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? And when they were coming to the boat, the wind ceased. And they that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, there it is, the voice of truth, thou art the Son of God. There's a lot in there, a lot of great theology and a lot of great truths. But what I want to get at is about the voice of truth, listening in faith to the voice of the Lord Jesus versus listening to those voices that you hear and the voices of the doubters and one giving his or her opinion and you know, the gospel according to social media. There's one.
Oh, boy. That's a bad one.
I mean, just recently, two nights ago, in my regular pattern between 1 and 3 in the morning, I said, hello, wide awake.
Yeah.
And so I made the mistake. I've made many in my life, but there's one that I started reading posts on a controversial issue in Paducah. And I could not believe of the hate that was in those posts. But I'm more in love of the just general disrespect of evangelical Christians.
Yeah.
We're hillbillies. We're ignorant. Mm. Why would we say that there's a male and female only? And why would we just say that God is against homosexuality and all of these things?
Oh, yeah.
We hate people.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
But I love God and what his word says.
That's right.
And I choose to follow that.
Mm-hmm. Word of truth.
The voice of truth.
Voice of truth.
Well,
of truth.
Then someone will say, well, wait a minute. You have your truth, and I have my truth. No.
There's only one truth.
And his name is Jesus.
That's it.
He's the one that came to his disciples on the fourth watch, walking on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this passage, we come across the disciples, and they're trapped in the grip of a fierce storm. That's exactly where they are. After they had just this miracle of feeding the multitudes. They're in that storm because they've been commanded by the Lord to cross the Sea of Galilee. That's why they're there. Now, this place was susceptible to sudden storms. That's not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
These men are in the will of the Lord, yet we see they're struggling.
Sure.
But they're in the will of God. Don't forget that.
Sure.
Doing everything they could, it appears that they're unable to make any headway to move forward. The wind's in their faces, verse 24. And these 12 guys are stuck in a storm, unable to get out. There's nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you ever found yourself in that kind of dilemma? Not anywhere to go. There's no escape. You can't push a reset button.
Mm-mm.
You can't push the redo button or the undo button.
Rewind button or
anything.
Whatever you want to call it.
You can't.
No. No way.
Have you ever found yourself stuck in one of life's storms? No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, it seems that you just can't make any move whatsoever.
Mm.
Well, we've all had times like that, I'm sure.
Oh,
I know I have.
Yeah.
And it may seem to you like the storm will never end and there's no possible good that comes from what you're facing. Well, there's some good news. While the storms of life are never pleasant, they do produce certain benefits in our lives that we could do well to make note of. No chastening, this is from the book of Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So hang in there, there's good results.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to notice something from the voice of truth from this very familiar story. First of all, notice these storms are God's means of transportation. The very thing that the disciples feared, the sea, was the very thing used as the vehicle for the Lord Jesus to reveal himself to them. Now, if you start looking at throughout the scripture, book of Revelation, other places, or even reading ancient literature and ancient history, you'll find that humongous sea that they could see every day, realizing that was before Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, and they thought the world was flat.
Mm-hmm.
And the world as they knew it was all they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And out there, oh my, that's not where you want to go. So there was a fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so notice how Jesus came to them at night. That's when the darkness, when that seems to be the most difficult time for anyone. But first of all, he comes in the face of darkness. The Bible says that he came to them on the fourth watch, which that's sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. during the darkest hours of the night, Jesus came walking on the water.
Mm.
Now, have you ever attempted that?
Mm-mm, no.
It won't work. It
won't work.
Well, you may be facing some of the darkest days of your life this morning. I want to remind you that God is ever with you. Let me remind you that in the darkest hours of your life, God is still God, and He is still in control of your life. In 1 Kings 8:12, then spake Solomon, the Lord said He would dwell in the thick darkness. In Psalm 139:11 to 12, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be my light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There's no difference for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's with you in the dark. He's with you in the light.
Yes.
Even the darkest hours cannot be hid, cannot hide you, and will not hide God from you. He doesn't play hide and seek. He is there even when you can't see Him. All right, so He comes in the face of darkness, and He comes also, in this case, in the face of disaster. The disciples were in the fight of their lives. In fact, Mark 6:48 puts it this way. They were toiling in the rowing. They were fighting frantically.
Yeah.
Can you get the picture?
Yeah, could you imagine just out there trying to go forward, just couldn't go forward?
It's kind of like trying to put out a three-alarm fire with a bucket of water.
Yeah.
It's about what they're doing.
That's it.
So they're struggling against the storm. You know, I get the idea that these men were afraid for their lives,
sure.
Honestly. So when all hope was gone and they were doomed, what happens? Jesus comes and came, I should say, walking on the waves. You know, there are times that I know you do, and I know that I do as well, feel like you're about to lose control and everything's just at its darkest moment. Remember, He may not keep you and me, may not keep us from going through the storm, but He will keep you in the midst of it.
That's right.
I know that. Looking on the backside of 30 now, I can tell you the backside of 30 double plus. But you can just think of this. Think of the three Hebrew children. God took care of them. Daniel, yes. Noah. God did not prevent any of those things happening to them, but He saved them in the midst. What He did for them, it's just like the old song, it is no secret what God can do.
Mm-hmm.
What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you.
Mm-hmm.
There is no secret what God can do. Well, with that, I see those fingers again.
Yep, on the move.
I'm going to just take a picture of them and a screenshot. And just put them on Facebook so people see what I see.
You see what you, yeah, there you go. Here's Johnny Erickson Tana sharing hope.
The gospel of Christ is really reaching into Mexico. Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tana, and this amazing story begins in Monterrey, Mexico, with Bianay, a Christian woman who survived a horrific car accident, leaving her with a disability and chronic pain. Vianney and her husband looked to their church for help, but the people viewed Vianney's problems with pain as evidence that she lacked faith. She was so dismayed. And that's when she turned to Johnny and friends and found this broadcast on our website. And it was on this program, Sharing Hope, where Vianney learned that God had a purpose for her pain and disability. Romans 8:28 assured her that the Lord would turn the tragedy of her car accident into a triumph for her and her family. But little did she know, it would reach many more people than she could imagine. Vianney decided to contact our radio page to learn more about Johnny and Friends. She let us know that she wanted to make a difference for Christ by helping other people with disabilities in her country of Mexico. So our response team prayed with Vianney, provided her with resources, and invited her to a Wheels for the World outreach that was coming to her area. Praise the Lord, she arrived at our outreach where she received a much-needed wheelchair. She was so excited. And it was clear to us that, with all her pain and disability, this woman still was heaven-bent on spreading the gospel in her wheelchair. So, the relationship that began through this radio program kept developing. And in time, Johnny and Friends awarded Vianney a scholarship to complete our online Beyond Suffering course in Spanish. It was through this course that she learned about the sovereignty of God over all pain and affliction. BNA realized that this biblical doctrine needed to be shared. So many disabled Mexicans simply didn't have a biblical perspective on disability and suffering. So she wasted no time in pursuing her studies with us so that she could serve as an instructor in Mexico for our Beyond Suffering study. And what a great job she's done, teaching hundreds of students. It's why in 2022, VNA became our country coordinator for all of Mexico, and word has spread throughout Central America. And now, she is responsible for overseeing our online Spanish Beyond Suffering trainings. In the last few years, she's become a trainer of trainers, mentoring other instructors and guiding each online course to completion. She tells her testimony everywhere she goes, and Mexican families who are struggling with disability, they're coming to Christ. VNA can look back to the time when, long ago, she got her first wheelchair and first understood the beauty of God's sovereignty in Romans 8:28. It is a terrible yet wonderful mystery how God used her tragic car accident to bring the gospel to thousands of hurting people in Mexico. And to think that it all began with this radio program. Friends, today is World Radio Day, and VNA's story shines a bright light on the global power of Christian radio, even our Johnny and Friends radio ministry, not just in the U.S., but in Mexico and around the world. So tell your international friends they can listen to Sharing Hope every day. They can simply subscribe on their favorite podcast platform. And thank you for praying for VNA. She still suffers with pain, and she's still in a wheelchair. Yet, this woman is moving forward into life and ministering to fellow Mexicans in the name of the Lord Jesus.
And now here's a message from Carl Heckman of the Way Christian Youth Center in Cadiz, Kentucky, a wonderful youth ministry that is discipling young believers and giving them a great place to go after school days in Cadiz.
We are a ministry that ministers to middle and high school students. Everything is free for the students every day. They're fed spiritually through devotions, and they're fed physically through meals that our churches and businesses provide. God is doing some wonderful things there with some wonderful people that serve Him, but there's a lot of needs that we have that God will use to bless even more students and bring more people and more kids and more families into the kingdom. We need more volunteers of all kinds, of every kind of gift that God has given you. There is a place for it, the way it glorifies God and helps students. Particularly, we need male volunteers. We also always can use some additional funding that you can send to Post Office Box 572, Katy, Kentucky 42211. But especially, we need your prayers for the ministry, for our students, that they'll come to know Christ.
Sharing the gospel worldwide with TWR, Missionary Radio.
Well, good morning to 744, 16 in front of 8 o'clock, the front porch with Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First. I'm Ken Cummins, and glad to talk to you. And beautiful day in the neighborhood, lots of clouds.
I like that. Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers.
I liked Mr. Rogers.
Well, we started off this morning, if you just joined us, and using the Casting Crowns song, one of their songs called The Voice of Truth. And we're talking about listening to the voice of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, teach Saint what He says versus what the world says. And but using the story where Jesus comes to His disciples walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night, and the water's coming in, it's just one of those boisterous storms. Now, notice He also comes on the face of the deep. The very thing the disciples feared, which we talked about, the raging sea, was the thing God used as a vehicle to come to them. Now, this great testimony, He was telling them that the storm was not fierce. He was telling them He was greater than the storm. Now, He's still doing that in your life, regardless of what you're facing, whether it's and listen, I'm not trying to minimize it. One of the things that a physician, he or she will tell you, if you have a terminal illness or something like that, they don't enjoy giving you those results.
No.
And it's just devastating. But what would it be like to get that kind of news if you do not know the fact that this is not all of life there is, that Jesus Christ has a home prepared for you in heaven, that He is with you in this?
Yeah.
If you'll be patient, though, and as a believer and wait for him, he'll show up right on time.
Mm-hmm.
You will see that the storm is used by the Lord to make himself clear to you. What I'm telling you is this: do not fear the storms, because you can use the Romans 8:28 principle, for all things work together for the good.
Mm-hmm.
Also notice in verses 25 through 31, storms are God's means of testing. Number one, they reveal the Savior. Now, when Jesus came walking on the water, the disciples didn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, who do they think that he was? They thought he was a ghost.
A ghost.
Now, again, now, there are a lot of myths and different things about the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they see, what would you do?
A
storm's going on, you see somebody come walk, you think you're having an illusion or something, right?
I would have been terrified.
Yeah, not only of the storm, but here comes this fellow walking on the water.
Yeah.
So they cried out, but Jesus came with a message. You're going to listen to the voice of that sea raging, or your eyes mm-hmm. that with what you think you see,
mm-hmm.
or are you going to listen to the voice of truth?
There you go.
He came to them with a word of peace: be of good cheer.
Amen.
He came with a more powerful word: it is I.
Mm-hmm.
Be of good cheer. And then he says, here's the potential for you. Don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so it's a message of peace. They were in the storm when he told them to cheer up. That would be like sitting there and you just said, you got some horrible news, or you just saw your house like the folks down at the Hurricane Helene in North Carolina, or the devastating fires out in California. And somebody says, go ahead, cheer up.
Yeah, go ahead, cheer up. They'd probably look at you and say, yeah, right, you know.
Be kind of hard to do, wouldn't it?
It would be very hard.
Or you know that your impending death is coming. You're going down with the boat.
That's it.
And then it's the Lord's one sent you out there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And here he comes. But he told him to cheer up. Now, that's the peace he refers to, the peace that passes all understanding, because mm-hmm. it doesn't. He promises he'd guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a message of peace and also a message of power. When Jesus showed up, he came declaring his identity. It is I. It's an emphatic personal pronoun. It's not some other voice. It's not some other source. I am. I am the way, the truth, the life.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it? Jesus is telling his disciples, cheer up, God's here. If we can ever grasp the truth that he's the great I am and that he has all the power of heaven and earth, we realize he's on our side,
mm-hmm.
we will cheer up a bit.
That's right.
I don't know how he's going to do it. To live is Christ, to die is gain, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we win.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a message of personal potential, too. Jesus also issues a command to his disciples, don't be afraid. You stop fearing, you have to fear again. Someone said there's 365 promises in the Bible that you don't have to fear. You see, if we ever get hold of the fact that Jesus is in control in every area of our lives and he has the power and we can place our trust in him, we'll be looking at it a brand new way. We'll be listening to the voice of truth,
mm-hmm.
not the lie.
Mm-hmm.
In verses 28 and 29, when Peter heard that it was the Lord, well, Peter is my hero.
Mm-hmm.
I like Peter. Remember when Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter jumps up, and it's Matthew 16, he says, he gets all excited late, and what he says is absolutely fascinating. And his confession, who do men say that I am, that Jesus asked. And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah,
mm-hmm.
others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He says, but who do you say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
Simon Peter says, like a kid excited in school, he answered and said, you are the Christ,
mm-hmm.
the Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
Yeah. And then Peter wants to get in on this too, and he beforehand, and he says, look, and Peter heard it, and he said, Lord, wanted to join Jesus in walking on the water. Jesus simply said, okay, come on.
Come on.
Get out. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Peter obeyed, and he walked on the water. He did it.
Wow.
He used the storm as a means of helping Peter grow in his faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter had a story like no other disciples had.
That's right.
At least he did it. Mm-hmm. And at least he got out of the boat. Mm-hmm. And at least he believed the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He walked on the water. But when he put his he was tested. But when he took his eye off the Lord, what happened?
Started to sink.
Yeah, there's a lesson there. And that lesson is, keep your eyes on Jesus. Lord, like the trial of Paris is on, Lord, I'm keeping my eyes on you, mm-hmm. following you, mm-hmm. following you.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, a couple applications, and I'm going to do these rapid fire this morning. Peter, Jesus says to him, talks about him being, oh, thee of you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Peter shows us that weakness, a little faith, what can do. Little faith is often found in places where we might expect great faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Little faith is far too eager for signs. Give me a sign, then I'll do it, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your sign, the Word of God.
Word of God.
For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Little faith is apt to have too high an opinion of its own power. Little faith is too much affected by its surroundings.
Yeah.
This is the weakness of little faith. Little faith is too quick to exaggerate the peril. Oh, Lord, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, yet Peter also shows us some strengths of the little faith. Little faith is true faith. It's mustard seed faith.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And mustard seed is very, very, very small.
And it is, and it grows up to be a great big tree.
Big tree.
Little faith will obey the word of Jesus. Yeah. Little faith struggles to come to Jesus. At least he was doing that. Little faith will accomplish great things for a time.
Mm-hmm.
Little faith will pray when it's in trouble. And little faith is safe because Jesus is near. Now, I want to say to you the end result of this great story is when when Jesus came back into the boat, the storm ceased. The wind went down, and everything went calm.
Mm-hmm.
Then they that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, you are the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's the voice of truth right there.
Amen.
Do you see, do you understand why that was on my heart this morning?
Amen.
I've been listening to a lot of lies politically, and I'm listening to a lot of lies spouted,
mm-hmm.
but I choose to listen to the voice of truth.
Amen.
He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's in control. The world needs him. The world needs King Jesus.
Amen.
And I choose to exalt him.
Me too.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.